purpose of this message today, from our passage that we'll turn to in just a bit, is to firmly ground your understanding, okay? So plant your mind, your understanding that you'll be firmly assured of or grounded in, that you are made right with God. That's the word, by the way, justified. That you are made right with God by His grace through faith in Christ, okay? We say amen to that. And by receiving His Spirit, okay, so this happens when we believe, Spirit comes into us, you and I have the power to walk in line with the truth of the gospel, okay? That's a big sentence, lots to it, and it's important, okay? So my hope, again, is that you would understand these things well, that the Lord would speak to you, that you would understand what it means to have faith in Christ, what Christ did for us, and that we receive grace in Him so that we can walk in line with the gospel. Okay, I know that's a lot. So if you're here for the first time this morning, welcome. And we're walking through the book of Galatians. And in this book, the Apostle Paul, who was a missionary to places that hadn't heard, went and shared the gospel, the good news of grace in Christ, that we can believe in Him. And he went away. And in the meantime, there was a group of, at that time, Jewish believers who came to that church and said, well, yes, you need the grace of God, but also you need to live by Jewish customs and the Old Testament law. And those in that region of the world were starting to believe that. So it's grace plus the things that I do equals my justification, or that what makes me right with God, and that in that way I am firmly in the family of God. And Paul was not having it. He heard about this, and he's like, guys, what is wrong with you? Why are you believing in a different gospel? And he's talking about what this means, why it matters. And so we heard about some of those foundational things in chapter 1. And in chapter 2, Paul starts talking about his own life, his own testimony. He's a Jew of Jews, and yet none of that really matters. What matters most is belief in Christ. What matters is belief in Christ. So he tells that story and how he's interacting with the apostles and how they're working through some of these things. Now today we are picking up this message again in chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 11, okay? So chapter 2, starting with verse 11, we're going to read, we're going to focus on this passage to the end of chapter 2. So verses 11 all the way down through 21. Okay, and in this, you're going to hear a story about Paul and Peter kind of getting in conflict, okay? And then he talks about some important outworkings of why this conflict occurred. And then there's a verse down near the end that if you're a Christian, you probably know this verse, okay? So it's a very memorable verse. That's a lot in it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this whole section, and if you don't have a Bible, it's in front of you. There's a pew Bible. It's on page 1002, okay, page 1002. We're going to read this section, come back, and then talk through three kind of points, three kind of chunks in the hopes that we understand what's being said here. So it's a lot, but we're just going to read it, and then we'll return to it. So Galatians chapter 2, starting with verse 11, okay? Here we go. When Cephas, and by the way, that is Peter, so that's a different form of his name. So when Cephas, came to Antioch, this is Paul talking, I opposed him to his faith, to his face. Oh, Dave, I knew it was going to be one of these mornings. Okay, take a break here. I got this morning with my wife. I'm like, I am so tired. And could be a lot of different factors. So let's try this again. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Whoa. Verse 12. For before certain men came from James was in Jerusalem, okay, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles, that's non-Jewish people, because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. Verse 14. Now, when I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, that's where I got that line. When I saw, Paul said, that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it, then, that you forced the Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" Verse 15, "We who are Jews by birth and not, quote, sinful Gentiles, know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we, too, have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. But if, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed," and we'll talk about this, "then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law," okay, "so that I might live for God." And here's the more famous verse. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness can be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing." Okay. Powerful passage. And so we need to talk about what's going on here. Okay. And my first point is this, and you saw it right there in the text, walk in line with the truth of the gospel, okay? This is our action, walk in line with the truth of the gospel, okay? So, what's happening? Well, Antioch was the Apostles Paul kind of home sending church. Antioch was a city in Israel that was north of Jerusalem. That's where Paul's like base or his headquarters were. And at some point, the Apostle Peter, okay, went up to Antioch, and he was there with the church people. And Peter was being a hypocrite, okay? Now, a hypocrite is believing one thing and acting a different way. I know none of you ever do that. I know I do at times, and I hate that. I hate that. Okay? I hate that. Okay. This was an important moment. Now, Peter knew better than what he was doing. Why did he know better? Well, if you know your Bible, and if you look to Acts chapter 10, there was a moment in which the gospel was going to the Gentiles. And Gentiles is non-Jewish people, okay? And so the Jews thought, well, the Gentile sinners, that's why that's in there. It's like, well, you know, God forsaken them. If you're a Jew, that is the way to be right with God. And so the Holy Spirit came, the gospel came to the Jews, but it was also going to the Gentiles. And they're like, wait a second. And they're struggling with that. Well, wait a second. What about circumcision? What about eating dietary, you know, you don't eat pork, you only eat a certain way, all of these rules in the Old Testament. What about all those things? And so Peter was on a rooftop and he was praying and he saw a vision. It was a vision of a sheet. It was dropped down three times. And in this sheet was all of these animals, like kosher and non-kosher. It was clean and unclean. And the Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Hey, Peter, go ahead and eat." Peter's like, "No way. That's forbidden," right? And then Christ said, well, don't call unclean what I have called clean, okay? And this is the context of bringing the gospel. There's a guy named Cornelius, you can read about this, 10, 11, 12, keep reading in Acts there, that he was a Gentile that wanted to hear the gospel. And through this message, two things happened. Number one, hey, Peter, I am giving the gospel to all people. That was God's intent from the beginning. Don't call them unclean. I'm the one. If I call something clean, and they're clean by grace, and the gospel is clean, okay? And in that act, the dietary laws, okay, of the Old Testament were null and void, okay? That doesn't matter, all right? Peter understood this. And so Peter then was like, bring on the bacon, right? Cheeseburgers and bacon and curly fries. They didn't have curly fries. Well, I don't know what they had, but so these things were, Peter understood this, and the gospel was going out, okay? So this was the deal. So Peter understood this, and then, and we don't know if this incident happened before the Jerusalem Council or after. I don't know when this happened, but here the deal was, Peter was living in the freedom of the gospel and grace, and then all of a sudden, some of the, you know, the perhaps they're old Pharisees, but Jewish people were coming up from James. James was in Jerusalem. I know it's kind of a little bit complicated. They came down, and then Peter got afraid, right? When you think of Peter, do you think he's a fearful guy? What do you think of Peter? I don't know. You don't think that. You think, oh, he's the guy that jumps out of the boat. He's the guy that sliced the ear off somebody. He's the guy that's kind of impulsive. But Peter also struggled with fear, to be frankly honest, right? You remember when Jesus was about ready to get crucified? Remember when Peter had a confrontation with a young girl, right? And he denied the Lord how many times? Three times, right? So Peter, as emotionally bent as he was, okay, he'd be, you know, bold, but then he'd be also fearful, like some of us sometimes, right? Let's be honest. Peter just got, you know, he had this peer pressure. And so Peter was a leader. And so could you imagine, you know, they're having church and there's a potluck afterwards, you know, they hung out quite a bit. Just like, you remember at high school where you have those awesome trays back in the 80s and 90s? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but you know what I'm talking about, right? And you look out there where I'm going to sit, and Peter was sitting with his Gentile friends, and then he saw some of the Jewish people come in, and then he like got up from the table and went over, right? And like, I'm not going to sit with you guys anymore. Can you imagine what that felt like for those guys? Peter was scared, and he was being a hypocrite. And so people saw Peter doing that. The Jews saw Peter doing that. It was like, he was the leader. It was like, well, if Peter does that, maybe we shouldn't be eating with these people either. Then all of a sudden, you know, after church, it's like these people sit over here, and those people sit over there. And it was wrecking not only the unity in the church, it was wrecking Peter's personal testimony, but it was wrecking the message of the gospel, right? That it's not by grace you have to be a certain distinction or a certain nationality or follow certain rules. And once you become like us, then you're the, you know, the superior Christians or the real Christians. And it was a problem. This is why Paul got like all up in his face, right? He says he confronted him, right, in front of everybody, right? Paul not just didn't hear it, he saw what was going on, and it grieved him deeply, right? He said, Peter, right, in front of the group that kind of, so they can all hear, it's like, hey, Peter, hey, guys, what are we doing here? Why are you doing this? Don't you know? And Peter, you know this. And Peter, by the way, I know you like cheeseburgers and you eat them with bacon, right? And now you're kind of being like, oh, you know, I can't do that. Peter, you're being a hypocrite here. You're hurting not just the church. You're jeopardizing your testimony, but ultimately, you are not living in line with the truth of the gospel. Right? Do you hear that? That should kind of like grab your attention. And I have to ask myself, is this action in line with the truth of the gospel, right? It's my action, and you can fill in the blank there, right? Be it like you're being super legalistic, hey, show me in the Bible where that is, or you're being super liberal, like, nothing matters, you can do whatever you want. It's by faith through grace, which it is, but we'll look at that as well. God gives us power to live in line with the gospel. And these people and Peter weren't doing that. And Paul called them out, okay? So, what can we learn from these couple verses? Well, I think the first thing, and this is in the notes, that this passage reaffirms the facts that all people are under the word of God. Did you catch that, right? The Bible does not align itself with us, but we are to align ourselves with it, including the apostles themselves, right? You didn't hear Peter pull rank and says, well, you know what? I preached the first sermon, and you know what? Jesus said upon this belief, he said to me that I will build my church. It's not on Peter, it's on the testimony of Peter. He didn't do that. He recognized that the authority of God's word, the truth of the gospel, was over him. He wasn't over it. Does that make sense to you? I'll tell a quick story about my dad. I'm just throwing this in. My dad grew up in the church. He wanted to be a missionary. He fell away from the Lord. He had an affair. And during that period of his life, between he was like 40 and 60, he tried to justify his lifestyle. And so he left Christianity to find a religion that justified how he wanted to live, okay? He joined a cult. It's called Unity. They're around here that you can basically believe whatever you want. It's okay, right? He later repented and he, you know, was working through a lot of different things there. But he fell away to trying to find a religion that justified his lifestyle. If you're looking through the Bible and you're reading it to try to find all the loopholes, you're in thin ice, friend. Thin ice. To justify, you know, but probably shouldn't do that. But, oh, I'm saved by grace. So, oh, it's all good, right? This passage speaks towards that as well. But in this section, number one, first, it reaffirms that the word of God is above us. No one or no teaching is above the authority of the word of God. Okay, even what comes out of this mouth from this place. It's not backed up or is it not in line with the truth of the gospel. Better call it out, right? Question that. Hey, let's have a conversation with this. This is the second thing we can learn from this passage. The passage highlights the power of peer pressure. Either pressure that gets us off track, right? In this case, the Jews from Jerusalem. Or the pressure that gets us back on track, which is the corrections from Paul. Who you hang out with matters. The Christian church and community matters, right? If people in this building don't know your name, get to know people. Why do you think we have these things for? You need some positive influence. And sometimes in the church, we don't even positively influence each other. Let's be honest, right? Yes, we need to be engaged with people outside of the church. Absolutely, right? Even right now, I'm going to tell you this, there's more people at home than there are in all of our church buildings combined. I'm just telling the truth here. Right? So we have to recognize that peer pressure is powerful, either good or bad. I imagine that Peter was grateful that Paul called him out. Not that Peter liked it in the moment, but he said, bro, no go Eskimo, if I rhyme. Lord help the man, okay? He said, Peter, this isn't okay. What you're doing doesn't represent the gospel. Peter, and you are hurting people. And Peter, not only are you influencing people in a non-gospel-oriented direction, Paul's ministry partner, remember? Barnabas, you even led away Barnabas. Peter, this ain't right. We need to help each other live our life aligned with the gospel. You need friends like this. I need friends like this. And we do this not to try to call people out. We do it because we love Jesus and we love them. Do you hear me? Okay, there's a difference. There's a difference. Not to say, oh, I'm better. Let's say that. Love your neighbor. I love you enough. I love the gospel enough. I love the church enough to say something. Let's love each other. So this helps us to see, okay, peer pressure is powerful. God, help us to be a positive influence on each other. How we live, but also how we interact, and sometimes how we call each other out. Thirdly, this passage emphasizes the power of your behavior to either reinforce the message of the gospel or to undermine it. Okay, that's important. If you go on some social media stuff and people talk about it, I look at this stuff every once in a while. They say the reasons why they leave the church. Know what typically is on the top of that list? People who say one thing and live another way. Hypocrite. It breaks my heart when you read another pastoral scandal or a church scandal. It breaks my heart most for how it reflects poorly upon the Christ of Christianity. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart then that people say, those people are nothing but hypocrite. Now, in one regard, we're all kind of hypocrites, to be frankly honest, unless you live it perfectly. We try by God's Spirit, and this is the end. It says, hey, man, it's by grace, and it's Christ living in me. I have to be crucified and walk according to the Spirit. This is Galatians 5. We're going to get there. He takes time to build his argument to get there. We need the grace, we need the forgiveness, we need conviction. But God, help us to live our life in the truth of the gospel. Living to glorify Christ, living as what Christ would have us to do, living according to the fruit of the Spirit and not according to the actions of the flesh. And again, you can read ahead, please read ahead. Paul describes it. But our behavior matters. One more quick story, because I'm telling stories today, I guess. So my parents were divorced when I was around 12 or 13. My mom got remarried to another guy. And, got to be in church, got to read your Bible, got to do all this stuff. The shadow time when nobody was looking. He's dead now, so I'm not like, oh, I want to find who Dave's stepdad was. He ended up actually killing himself. It was horrible. But there was this struggle between what he professed to do and what he was actually doing, which was not good. I'll just leave it there. He did end up in jail for a time, and then he took his life. But I remember growing up saying, Wait, if this is how Christians really are, I don't know if I want to be a Christian. And by the grace of God, he brought me to himself when I was a senior of high school. Maybe some of you are here that are doing that. I'm not trying to get in your business, but I'm going to get in your business. Hey, what's happening? Right? Don't try to play the church religious game, you know. Put on your newest blue plaid shirt. Try to, you know, hey, how's it going? Oh, everything's great. Everything's great. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. May God help us by his grace to convict us of our sin so that we can walk in the freedom of his spirit. You hear that? That was a good sentence. I want that for us. You want that. You want to be loved enough that it'll be safe enough to tell what's really going on. Right? And so this passage tells us there's a lot there, right? Not like, oh, this happened. Like, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for me? Right? Ask that question. Okay. So number one, walk in line with the truth of the gospel. So we have to know the gospel. And then we need help to do this from other people sometime, reaffirming what we believe, okay, which is part of what we're doing here. And understanding, we need God's Spirit. So the next point is this, okay, you cannot, and this is Paul's now reasoning and rationale, you cannot be made right, that's the word justified, made right. You cannot be made right with God by observing God's laws, which seem kind of mind-blowing. Like, what? Okay. You cannot be made right with God by obeying God's laws. Okay, what do you mean? Okay, well, let's look at this, verse 15. Okay, here it is. I underlined a couple things. We who are Jews by birth, okay, so Paul's talking to people born ethnically a Jewish person, having the law, not sinful Gentiles, those born without the law, okay? Those who are Jews by birth, not simple Gentiles, know that a person is not justified, that is, be made right with God, okay, or rightified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus, okay. He's saying, hey, we Jews have put our faith in Jesus Christ that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Okay, so all the law, in the Old Testament law, it's called typically the Torah. Okay, all the law can do is tell you what is right and what is wrong. Okay, this is right, this is wrong. It can just tell you this. It does not give you the power to change your heart or to do what is right. Okay. It says, hey. Put God first in all you do. Okay, so then putting God second or third or fourth or whatever is wrong. Got it. But then we still put God second or third or fourth or fifth, right? Or love your neighbor as yourself. We know it, but sometimes we don't do it, right? Or whatever the list of things are. All the law does is tell us what's right or wrong, righteous or to be rightified with God by his law. The only way we can be justified or made right with God is by faith in Christ. Getting a new heart, right? It's not just what you do, but the motive, right? We're all bent to sin. You're still like, well, I'm not. That's a sin. Okay. I remember when I came to faith at 17, I knew right and wrong because I kind of grew up in church. I didn't have the power to do it. Do not lie. I lied. Do not steal. I stealed, right? Be sexually pure. I was not. I was just being honest. And I wanted to do these things, but I couldn't do them. So I got to the point of acknowledging my own sinfulness, acknowledging Christ's goodness, and repenting. And repenting was like, God, I can't do what you want me to do. You have to save me. You have to give me a new spirit. You have to help me. That was the moment where I went from a person who knew stuff to the person who actually put his faith in Christ and received a new spirit. Right? Now, I wish I have never sinned since then. And Paul talks about it. Then, okay, now we have the power. Now we have to walk in accordance of the Spirit. God helps us to do this. This is what Paul's talking about here. But the deal is, you cannot be made right with God by obeying God's laws. You can try, but you will fail because you do not have the power, because you and I are bent towards sin. Now, I just added this next slide in. If you can go to the next slide. Just this morning, because I was looking at it and I checked our Bibles in front of you. If you have a Bible, often there will be something called a footnote. Are you familiar with these footnotes, right? But footnote, and you'll see it there, and you can look in the Bible in front of you in verse 16. It has like a little B, and you can look down to B. This is how these things work. And it gives like an alternative translation. And now this does not mean that the translation that is in the text proper and the main one isn't correct. What it means is that scholars who know languages well, they debate about, well, this could mean this or that. And typically the majority translation is put into the text. However, in this case in particular, I'm just pointing this out, and more scholars are saying, you know what, we think that they're becoming like, we think this is the right translation, what's in your footnote, okay? And so I'm just going to point this out, and this might be a little complicated, but so you see, by faith in, I have it struck out, you see that? So by faith in is what's currently in the translation from the Greek, okay? But this is becoming a bigger, more scholars are saying, I think this is how it should be translated, and it gives some nuance that I think is important for us to understand. Okay, so I'm going to read it, but instead of reading the white stuff, I'm going to read what I highlighted in yellow here. So here we go. Know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified on the basis of the faithfulness of Christ, and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified, okay? We're justified not because of our faith, but because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. You understand that? So you could say, hey, we're justified by having faith in the faithfulness of Jesus, right? You like that? I think that's a better picture of grace, friends. And this is what Paul is emphasizing in this passage. Listen, you can't clean yourself up enough to be right with God. Stop it. Repent. Understand that Jesus and his faithfulness is the way in which we can be made right with God, or be made righteous with God, that we believe in the faithfulness of Christ. So therefore, he died in our place. Therefore, he became sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. You understand this, right? Hopefully. So what's faith? What is faith? Believe? I don't know. Trust? Sometimes think, well, I have faith. I believe in Jesus Christ. What does that mean, right? So for an example, I can say, I have faith that this stool will hold my weight. I believe it. I believe that. Is that faith? You know what faith is? So this is how this works. You say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for my sin, which about 86% of people will say in America. I'll say that. Is that faith? Is that saving faith? Or you say, you know what? I believe in Jesus Christ and I trust in him. I rely on him. I put myself in him and he's in me. Okay. That means that I bank everything on that. Give him my life. Not just in the end of your life, because you will not be able to resurrect yourself, friends. Once your spirit leaves your body, you have no power over that. Do you believe in that? Do you believe so much that not only do you believe on him, but you live in him, or he lives through you? God, I believe, so therefore I will look to love my neighbor as myself. I believe that I know that the Bible says, do not forsake the gathering together of the brethren, so I come together. I believe that give and it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down and poured over, so I give. I believe that walking in humility, walking in truth, walking in love, walking in a way of rightness with God, so I align myself with the truth of the gospel because I believe. That's Christianity. It's what Paul is saying. Faith in Christ. Do you treasure Christ more than anybody else's opinion? Or you just kind of add him on to your life like salt on a salad? Just a little bit of Jesus makes it better, but I ain't going to change nothing. Believe in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is emphasizing you cannot be made right with God observing God's laws, okay? And then we continue to read down, and this is the right objection, right? This is the next point. You are made right by Christ's Spirit living in you. That's my next point, right? So I say, hey, you can't observe the law. And the Jews are like, well, then, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Like, okay. This is verse 17. This is the objection. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ. So, okay, we want to be justified in Christ, but if we Jews find ourselves among the sinners, right? That means you can do anything you want at any time? If that's the case, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? He's like, absolutely not. Christ does not promote sin, right? And he goes on and says, hey, listen, we worked hard to break down this wall between the law or Jews and Gentiles. It says, now if I try to rebuild that and say, nope, you got to become Jews, you have to do this, that's the only way. He says, if I do that, then man, I really will be a lawbreaker or a sinner, okay? So verse 19, right? This is why this all kind of comes together. So Paul says, for through the law, 19, for through the law, I died to the law. Huh? So I might live for God. So the law, the Old Testament law, tells me that I'm a sinner. And so the law didn't help me to live righteously. It realized that I'm dead. I can't do this. But through the law, I died to the law. I can't. Why? So that I might live for God. Okay. That's the goal. Well, how did this happen, Paul? And here we go. I've been crucified with Christ. For I no longer live. You say, God, you've got to destroy me. I'm crucified with him. When he died for my sin, I died as well. So that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. How does that happen? He gives us a new spirit. This is called being born again. Okay. I was born once, and it ain't so good. Born again. We'll be born again. We need a new spirit so that we could live for God. Without His Spirit living in you, you cannot live for God, no matter how hard you try. I'm trying to be acceptable to God. Christ is acceptable to God. If you're in Him, then you're acceptable to God. If you're not, you're not. That's what the uniqueness of the gospel is. That is the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Every other religion on the planet, you have to earn your way to be right with God, be it pray five times a day, be it give these things, by doing all this type of stuff. You can never earn your way to heaven. You have to get a new spirit. You have to receive the grace of God. And God gives us a new spirit so that we can be like Christ, living like Him. Does how you live matter? The answer is yes. But not so that you can earn salvation, but because you are saved. Do you hear me? Big difference. You know a tree by its fruit. And Paul's saying this. Listen, this is how this works. If you are struggling with sin, the answer isn't try harder, it's surrender more. It's admitting, God, I can't help stop doing blank. And there's a lot of things that can be in that blank. Be honest. I can't. You have to help me. Give me a new spirit. Help me. Help. Give me people that are going to help me do what's right. Surrender. I've been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. And I love this line. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. So let that sink in. Loved me? Scandalous. You didn't find Jesus. Jesus found you. Because you and I weren't looking for Him. And Paul ends, and I'll end here too. I do not set aside the grace of God, for He's saying, hey, we have to have this grace, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, we don't need Jesus then. He died for nothing. His death was necessary so that we could live eternal life. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life to the full. Even though if you die, and we will die unless Christ comes back while we're still in this body, if you believe in Christ, yet will you live? Not by your faith in this, because of His faithfulness. Believe in Him. We must die so that we might live for God. Right, I'm coming down for a landing here. This is the conclusion section, and I don't know what the Lord's speaking to you today. I don't know, right? Hopefully, you can say, I need to rely on God's grace to a greater degree. Or perhaps it's like, thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. Or it could be, God, give me some good people to help me, and God, help me to be a person that lives for you. And to help other people. I don't know. Could be those things. Could be something else. I don't know. So the heart of the gospel is this. You are not justified by what you do for God, but by what God has done for you in Christ. Okay. Please know that. And if you try to add anything to Jesus, you nullify grace and deny the cross. But when we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us, we are free. Free from the weight of the law, free from the fear of failure, free from the need to perform. That should help you. Now, this is not freedom to live however we want. This is freedom to live for God, right? The old you has been crucified with Christ. The new you is alive in him. His spirit fills you. His love secures you. His cross defines you. His resurrection empowers you. That's a good sentence. Okay. Filled with the spirit, his love secures us. The cross defines us. The resurrection empowers us. So walk in step with the truth of the gospel. Don't drift back into slavery. Don't let peer pressure, fear, pride pull you off the path. Stand firm in grace. Live each day with confidence because the life you now live in the body, you live in faith in the Son of God. Loves you, gave himself for you. That's your identity. That's your freedom. That's your hope. Amen. Okay. So God, we do pray, Father. As we've prayed, God, as I've prayed, God, would you help us to understand this, that our faith will be firmly grounded in the authority of Scripture. God, I pray for people who might just be playing games, or for the various struggles, and we all have struggles. We recognize that we can't live for God in our own strength. We need your Spirit, God, to help us. And will you do that today? God, will you set people free from performing for God? Will you set people free from the sin that so easily entangles us? God, we can't untangle ourselves. Help, we ask, by your Spirit, through your Word, to friends that love us, so that we can walk according to the truth of the gospel. God, I pray for people in our community that are not in this building right now. And they may not be here because they have been hurt by someone who seems so religious to public that they were not that way in private. God, I pray for their hearts. God, I pray for their healing. God, I pray for their wholeness, Lord. We pray that they actually know you, the one who laid the life down for you. Will you restore that, God, and people return? God, forgive us of the wounds we have wounded others with. God, it's just horrible. Forgive me. Give us, Lord. Oh. We say grace and more grace. Say, Spirit, work in us. Power us, help us. So, Father, you know what every person here needs. Every person online, God, you know. None of us can fool you with anything. Minister to your people today. Grace and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you for your Spirit. May we be a people who live according to it by your grace. In Jesus' name.